It's hurting pretty bad. Matthew chapter 9,
Lord.
Verse number 37. I'd like to preach to us from a few verses of scripture here, the Lord to help us. Amen.
Bless him, Lord.
I preached the last few services there before a few weeks back, and preached about the salt of the earth, and I may visit some of that again. We got to be salty Christians, don't we?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so this is in chapter 9, a couple chapters later. Deal with these two verses here, starting at verse 37. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Verse 38. Amen. He even preached on this a little bit the other night. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into the vineyard. Thank you for standing today for the reading of the word of the Lord. Amen. Pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his vineyard. Hallelujah. Amen. I admit it, I'm a church man. Praise God. Are you a church man or a church woman?
Yes.
My life revolves around the church. My life has revolved around the church since I was 13 years of age.
Yes.
I love singing. I love preaching. I love pastors. Amen.
Right.
I love good saints of God, don't you?
Yes.
Be honest with you, I really like sinners too. I love sinners because that's who we're after.
Wow.
Amen. And praise God. I love being around the fellowship of God's people.
Wow.
Don't you?
Yes.
Through this hard time in our life, it's just been unbelievable, the fellowship and the love of God's people. And we got to have that, don't we?
Amen.
Amen. And I don't know about you, but I'm involved in the work of God.
Right.
Amen. Not only do I believe in it, not only have I been involved in it, amen, from a young child up, praise God, I'm still involved in the work of God.
That's right.
Amen. And I want to tell you, not am I involved from a sense of responsibility. I think, well, I have to do this.
Come on.
But I'm involved because I want to.
That's it.
Amen. Let me tell you something. The moment you go to church because you have to go to church,
right,
you're going to church for the wrong reason.
Right.
Amen. Let me tell you something. You pick up a microphone to sing a song or play an instrument or preach the word or teach a class and you feel like you have to do it, you're doing it for the wrong purpose.
Amen.
Amen. Anytime we do anything for God, it ought to come out of our heart. Amen. And I know this is a modern day term, but we are to have a passion burning down deep inside of our heart saying, I want to do something for God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Yes. And when I come to church, amen, it doesn't matter. I know we don't have an organ. It doesn't matter if it's an organ. It doesn't matter if it's a piano. It doesn't matter if it's a guitar. I came from a place where they used to play a harmonica. Amen. Carson plays a banjo some. I love a banjo. I grew up my cousin playing a banjo. It doesn't matter what kind of instrument. It doesn't matter who gets anointed. All that matters is if the Spirit of God shows up. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm talking a little bit about church right here. Amen. Amen. This is the house of God. Amen. This is the people of God. And they are his. Amen. Did you know you are his?
Yeah.
Glory to God. Amen. And his presence rests upon this place. Amen. And one more thing. Praise God. I believe, and here's my message here today. Amen. I believe, I don't know if you believe this or not, and I hope by the time we're done, we believe this. Amen. I believe this could be the church's finest hour.
Yes.
Amen. Oh, yes. Woo! How do you, why do you say that for, Brother Jason? It's a dark hour, amen. It's a terrible time. Sin abounds everywhere. Did you know the Bible said where sin doth abound, the grace of God doth much more abound, amen. This could be the church's greatest hour. It's the darkest night. It's the darkest time that we've ever seen. And the light shines the brightest when it's the darkest. Hallelujah. Amen. We're living in desperate times. There is no hope for the dying world outside of a living Christ. Amen. Let me tell you something. There's no hope in this world. There's no hope in the things of this world. If there's any hope, it's going to come from Jesus. Amen. I said, if there's any hope, it's going to come from the grace and the love of God. Ah, the place of the church should be on the front line. The place of the church should be down in the trenches. And it seems, amen, that rather folks become dead and they become dormant. We come to church night in, night out. We haven't prayed. We haven't sought the face of God. We haven't asked God for revival. We haven't, like Leonard Ravenhill, amen, oh, we haven't been in a place of prayer. Amen. It's so long we can't knock the fuzz off of a peach. I come to tell a church, if this is going to be the church's finest hour, then the church which makes up the people which makes up the church must arise. Amen. And we must get endued with power from on high. If there's ever a time that you need the Holy Ghost, you need the Holy Ghost today. I said, if there's ever a time that we need the indwelling of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, or as we Pentecostals call it, the third person of the Godhead to come inside and take over, we need it today. Amen. Oh God, we need your power. Oh God, we need your spirit to come in and get in the midst. Amen.
Yes, God.
Amen.
Oh God.
Yes, Lord. Bless him, Lord.
Woo! Glory be to God.
Bless him, Lord.
You know, the Holy Ghost can make a difference.
That's right.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, and I'm not against churches, you know. If we had a $1 million building here, I'd be just as tickled of it as the next person would be. Amen. But if you've got a tent, if you have church in a tent, amen, what makes a church? I come to tell you, the Holy Ghost makes a church. The power of God makes a church. Amen. You can't have revival without the Holy Ghost. You can't have a move of God without the Holy Ghost. Amen. Oh, yes, a man said, Robert Schuller is right. Amen. On his instance, that a church must find a need, and that church must feel that need. You know, one of the greatest needs today is there's a world out there lost and they're going to hell. There's a world out there and they're far away from the throne of God and they're slipping off into eternity. Amen. Without God, a church must find a need and they must feel that need. Oh, yes. Amen. Look at the world today. There's health disasters. Jesus warned in Matthew chapter 24 and Matthew chapter 25 that in the last days there would be pestilences. You look at the sicknesses we're facing today. Amen. There's infections and there's diseases that if you get that, praise God, they don't have antibiotics that'll touch it. Reese's been up there 10 days. Amen. And that ICU, and just naturally me seeing it so many times, I scared to death. She'd get some kind of infection. I was scared to death. She would get staph or septic. Amen. Or something like that. Oh, I prayed night in and night out of there. Because you know there's sicknesses that you can get and antibiotics can't touch that. In the last days there would be pestilences. That's what the Word of God said. And that's what we're facing today. Amen. Men and women are sick. Amen. Oh, if there's ever a time, the church needs power. Did you know the church can have power to lay hands on the sick and they recover? Amen. Oh, I'm about to feel like preaching here. Amen. Did you know that we can still lay hands, amen, on the sick? Did you hear me? And they can recover. to feel like shouting right here. Amen. I said, they can still recover. Amen. I don't want to get to a place here where I just start crying and I can't finish. Amen. But you know the story of what's happened here the last, amen, 2 weeks of my life. It's not a secret. Amen. The worst, darkest 18, 20 days of my life. But over the first 3 or 4 days, they just didn't told us. It didn't look like Reese was even going to live. Amen. Oh, 4 days. Amen. Of darkness. Her face was swelled. I mean, didn't even look like Reese laying there. Amen. Had to have emergency brain surgery. And the doctor said, just prepare. We don't expect her to live.
Bless him, Lord.
4 days laying there. Finally, that fourth day, she kind of turned. And it looked like things were going to be a little better. And so finally, a day or two of that, amen, that old doctor come in. And it knocked all hope out again. There she laid in ICU. There she laid. Amen. No hope to live. And then they said, well, we think she might live now. And the neurosurgeon come in. I'll never forget this. That neurosurgeon come in. We was happy. You know, she's going to live. And he come in and he said, she has massive brain damage. She has massive brain swelling. And he said, I just want to let you know, I don't think she'll do anything other than lay in this bed. This is probably as good as it's ever going to get. In other words, he said, she'll be a vegetable the rest of her life. Amen. I can't tell you, Brother Daniel. Amen. The dark nights, walking them hospital floors, and I prayed and I said, God, I can't believe you let my baby live to lay in a bed the rest of her life. But I said, God, if that's what you choose, I'll take care of her. Amen. Laying in a bed. But Lord, I believe you're going to raise her up. Amen. 10 days. I said, 10 days of darkness, Brother Daniel. And they finally said, well, we didn't expect it, but her lungs are strong enough to pull the tube. We're going to take her off life support. We're going to see what happens. It all happened real quick. We go in there and they take her off the life support, and just immediately she snapped her eyes open and she looked at us, and the doctor said, Reese, are you hurting anywhere? She said, my leg's hurting. Amen. My leg's hurting. Oh, God. She wanted a milkshake. And this old funny fella, and me and Reese had cut out of the same mold. I've been looking at that fella all week, too. That hair hanging down. Amen. Weird looking guy. And Reese woke up and seen that fella at the foot of her bed. And she said, who in the world is that? Amen. Who in the world is that weird fella? Praise God. They didn't think she'd ever talk. They didn't think she'd ever walk. And she ain't walked just yet. But I come to tell us, we got power to lay hands on the sick and they recover. I got a baby that can't walk today. I got a baby that can barely talk. But I come to tell us, I believe God. I said, I believe that God is able to move in the darkest of nights, in the hardest of trials. Our God is able.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
We still serve a God who is able. I gotta move on here. Don't worry, I ain't gonna preach about Reese all night, all day. Poverty. You know, there's poverty amongst us. Amen. According to some figures, over 1 billion people live really close and, amen, to a garbage dump. Hallelujah. Just live in filth. Some of the major cities of the world, folks live in them just garbage dumps. Amen. Oh, has God bless you? Did anybody today have a little something to eat when you woke up this morning? Did anybody in here have a piece of bacon or a piece of toast or at least something you can have to eat this morning? Oh, God. I said, God's been good to us, church. I said, God has been good to us. Oh, amen, poverty, amen, oh, trouble, amen, in today's society. But thank God, amen, that's where God moves. Hallelujah. What about the unbelievable moral decay in our society today? Amen. Oh, yes, there's a double standard of living. Amen. Oh, yes. Did you know folks live together today like it's no big deal? And there was a time folks would have been embarrassed to have said such a thing. Not today. They live together and smile about it. Amen. They're happy about it. But oh, I come to tell us there's a moral decay in society. Amen. How frightening that the divorce rate is 50% in this nation. How frightening it is that pornography pulls billions of dollars every single year. Amen. And it's an exclusive franchise of the underworld, that men and women that you would have never thought is hooked on, amen, the horrific images of pornography. And it destroys men and women's mind, and they end up in the crazy houses of today. Come to tell us, this could be the church's greatest hour. Hey, there's needs all around us. There's needs all around. And God is looking for a church to get up. I said, God is looking for a church to rise and meet the need of today's society. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Gunfire. It's becoming one of the chief causes of death in our land. Amen. Oh, yeah. And still the courts and the media, amen, haven't caught on, oh, to the tragic reality that we have fallen, amen, out of the plane without a parachute. Did you hear me? America has fallen out of the plane, and we don't even have a parachute. The last presidential debate, and I've only seen highlights, haven't even had time to really look at all of it, but it's a laughing stock around the world. Amen. We got America that is sliding off into hell, and we got men that's incapable of even running this country. Oh God, wake us up, Lord. I said it's a prime time for the church to have her finest hour. I said it's a prime time for the church to arise and have her finest hour.
Yes, God. The
wars.
Glory to God.
And rumors of wars. Oh, yeah. We're there.
Yeah.
Amen. Religious fundamentalism. 1 billion people now live under the yoke of Islam. Did you hear me? 41 countries have their governments overshadowed by Muhammad. I said we're living in the last days. It's a prime hour for the church to arise. Woo! Amen. A toxic planet, depending upon how far, amen, you want to follow. Amen. There's pollution. Amen. There's filthiness. America wants to have clean air. Are you against clean air? No, brother. I'm not against clean air, but the rest of these countries don't care nothing about it. Amen. They're pumping everything in the world in the water. You can't go to China and even brush your teeth with their water. Amen. You'll get a parasite or some kind of sickness that'll take you out. It's a filthy world out there today, church. But isn't it a prime time for the church to get the Holy Ghost and catch on fire and have revival? I come to tell us, amen, let the church arise. I come to tell you, church, don't be dead. Don't be dry. Don't live a prayerless life. Don't live a life that you don't know His word. Catch on fire. If God's going to move, you got to catch on fire.
Amen, brother.
Come
on, Lord.
I couldn't find an exact number, but since 1973, Roe versus Wade, there's been over 50 million babies aborted. Isn't that sad? James Dobson said there probably could have been a baby born with the cure to AIDS. There probably was a baby who could have been born with the cure to cancer, but we killed him. Amen. We killed her. Hallelujah. We killed that baby. Oh, God. Amen. Oh, it's a dark hour, but it's an hour for the church to arise. Hallelujah. Amen. It is. Oh, this global widened harvest field. Amen. It's white and it's ready for harvest. But oh, God, there's not folks that's even interested enough to get in behind the good old fashioned man of God. There's not enough folks interested enough to push back one meal, amen, in the week and get hungry to have a move of God. Oh, so Jesus said, pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers. What are you preaching to us here today, brother? I'm looking at who Jesus was talking to. Pray that you'd get hungry. It ain't all on the preacher. The pew member has to get on fire. We gotta get a burden. We gotta get stirred. Where folks are gonna go to hell. Our churches are gonna close. Amen. The doors are gonna be locked if we don't have revival. First, no Christian believer can remain neutral. Once you get in this thing, you're either for it or you're against it. Jesus' words to the church in Laodicea remain. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. They got in there and they was trying to straddle the fence. Jesus said, that don't work.
You're right,
amen.
Come on.
You ain't no room to be lukewarm.
Come on.
Because he said, if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Oh, God. Woo. There's no room for the mediocre Christian. The Lord has called us to be soldiers of the cross. A 60-minute session on Sunday morning ain't going to cut it. Woo. Amen. Are you coming to church when you feel like it and staying home when you don't? Ain't going to cut it. We will never reach a world that is lost and dying and going to hell with a 60-minute session on Sunday morning. We got to have something that changes us, that it affects me on Monday morning when I wake up. We got to have something that stirs me Tuesday when I get up. Come to tell us, we got to have, amen, something that moves us more than on Sunday morning.
Come on.
Glory
be to God.
Hallelujah.
Bless him, Lord. Bless him.
Yes. Old lady was teaching the women's Bible class. And up in her 70s, I forget exactly how old she was, 70 something. And she was teaching Bible class. And she was such a Bible scholar. At one time she had over 300 women coming to hear her teach the Word of God. And the old pastor asked her one time, he said, when are you going to quit? Hey, man, she said, when I get old. When I get old, I might think about quitting. Let me tell you something, church. Is there a stopping place? Is there a quitting place? Amen. Oh, God. I've been up at that hospital for, I guess, about 20 days. And I look at them folks coming in, and I look at them coming out. That one night, they brought that family in there, and the one, I think it was the two-year-old, drowned. Oh, nightmare. Amen. Families are hurting. People are hurting. Amen. Folks coming in there. Amen. Life is upside down. You don't understand. People hurt so bad. You don't understand. People really are in need of God. Oh, there's a need out there. If you get hungry, you can do something for God. I said there's a need out there. If you get a burden, he'll take you and send you. Amen. Where you're needed. Pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers. Secondly, every Christian believer must feel a personal involvement. You've got to feel Amen. Like you are needed and like you need to be involved.
Amen.
And here's the thing. I've been pastor long enough to know this. Folks like to be needed in the open right here.
Come on.
I want to get up here and sing a song. I want everybody to hear me sing a song.
Come on.
I want everybody to hear me do this and this and that. That means nothing.
That's right. Come on.
This is 2 hours we're gathered together to worship God.
Come on.
Really what matters is what your heart and your desire is when you walk out them doors.
Yes.
That's really what matters.
Right.
Amen. This is a two and a half hour session that we come to worship God. Believe it or not, we're not in here working for God right now. We're in here worshiping God.
Lord. Amen.
You're right.
I'm telling you something, sir. You ain't going to have no rewards one of these days.
Amen.
If you don't get out there and work.
Right.
And do something for God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Is that all right?
Yes.
Amen. I want to have a reward one day.
Right.
I want to have a reward, Brother Tommy. Yes. One of these days, I want to hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant."
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thou hast been faithful over a few things. Mm-hmm. Whew. I'm going to make you ruler over many. I come to ask you a question. Are you faithful over a few things?
Come on, brother.
Are you faithful over a few things God's given you in this life?
Hallelujah.
Raise your hand and ask God to help us be faithful. God, this is serious business this old preacher's talking about here today. Lord, this is serious business. Amen. Woo. Oh, God, I want to be used, Lord, in your kingdom. Acts chapter number 20, Paul's third missionary journey winds down. I'm done here. In the great city of Ephesus. From his ministry have come such early church stewards as, if I'm saying this right, Sopater of Berea, Aristarchus of, amen, Thessalonica, Gaius of Derbe, amen, Timothy from Derbe, Phicus of Trophimus, amen, from what we know today as Turkey. All of Paul's friends are begging him not to return to Jerusalem. There is a great danger, Paul. Don't go to Jerusalem. There's folks there that's got a bounty on your head. Don't go to Jerusalem. Amen. But old Paul insists there in Acts chapter number 20, verse number 22. But Paul insists upon with this explanation. He says, "And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that should befall me there, save the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city." But Paul, there's enemies down there. Amen. You could be killed. Paul's response in verse 24, "None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Paul said, "Whether to live or die, if I live, it's going to be Christ. If I die, it's going to be gain. I don't really care about Paul. What I care about is an old seasoned veteran here. What I care about is doing the will of God. What I care about is working for God." Paul said, "That's all that matters." When we come down to the end of the road, I can stand back and say, "I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I kept the faith. I did what God called me to do." Hey, church, why don't you wake up? Why don't you wake up and let God call you today? I said, why don't you wake up and let the Holy Ghost endue you in power today? Wow.
Oh,
God. Raise your hand, church. Ask the Lord to get his will here. Oh, Lord, I feel better here now. I appreciate you moving in this house. Is there anybody in this house hungry, God? Is there anybody in this house hungry for revival? Is there anybody in this house hungry not to leave this place the same way they came, but they're hungry to be a different person when they leave this house today? Oh, God. Oh, God. Amen. Woo. Amen. Was Paul a man without any human feelings? I think not. Was he a spiritual robot programmed to spread the gospel? Hardly not. But look at chapter 21. Amen. And verse number 13. Paul's response to those who begged him to stay away from the danger in Jerusalem. What mean ye to weep? Amen. And to break my heart? No, this man had feelings. This man knew the danger. But oh, the road to Jesus Christ to take the gospel, amen, to a whole other known world. Ah, yes, that was what Paul thought about. That is all that consumed Paul's mind. That's all he cared about. He said, you're weeping and you're breaking my heart. But oh, I remember that road to Damascus that day that the Lord called me, and I'm going to fulfill that calling until the day I die. Is there anybody that could stand and raise a hand? I'm done. Let's stand in this house. Amen. I feel like God wants to call some folks. Amen. Right here on a Sunday afternoon. I'm not going to sit around and twiddle my thumbs. I'm not going to sit around, amen, and wish my life away. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to get involved. What am I going to do? I'm going to get called. I'm going to get into ministry. I'm going to get in the work of God. And I'm going to be used for God.
Lord, yes, Lord.
Oh, Brother Jason, I ain't a preacher. I don't want you to get me confused. I understand everybody in here ain't a preacher. I understand that. But you don't have to be a preacher to be used of God. Some of the greatest people I've ever been around were not preachers. Some of the greatest people I've ever had the privilege of being in their presence were non-preachers. I've been around some good men of God. I really have. I've been in the presence of great preachers. But I've also been in the presence of folks that were not preachers. And they, I tell you, some of the best people you've ever been around in your life, and they did a work for God. What I'm trying to tell you is, church, this church right here will never be what it needs to be until you catch on fire. This church right here will never grow and do anything as long as all the weights are one or two or three or four. It'll never do nothing. But a good church is folks that get involved. Old Moody Spurgeon. Spurgeon, I think it was. Said at any given time while I was preaching, everybody wanted to know the secret and the power of Spurgeon's preaching over in London. Moody was in Chicago. London, it was London. That great London Metropolitan Tabernacle. It had a massive basement. 700 or 800 could fit in that basement. And at any given time that Spurgeon was upstairs preaching, that place was packed. I think it held a couple thousand. Any given time he was preaching the thousands, they said there were 700 to 800 in the basement praying. And people patted Spurgeon on the back many times and said, man, what a powerful man. What a preacher of the gospel. And Spurgeon always said, I couldn't do it without them 700 praying down there. Oh, God. What I'm trying to tell you is, this ain't a one-man show. But we're in this thing. We're carriers of the gospel together. We're workers in the vineyard together. And it's going to take all of us working for God. Let's pray here. Lord, I preached what was on my heart to preach today here on a Sunday afternoon, 3:30 here in the day. Oh, God, would you call somebody today to work for you? Would you open somebody's eyes to work for you? Is there anybody here that's hungry and to say, Lord, I'm hungry? And I want to work for you in this day. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Lord, is there anybody hungry today? Is there anybody hungry today in this house? Look at me. Pray you, therefore, that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers. Is there any laborers in this place? Is there any laborers in this house? Would you get busy and work for God? Would you get busy and get concerned? It would help a lot if you'd just get concerned. Just get concerned.
to see people to be saved, Lord.
Oh!